This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and today we're continuing the series called Easter, the rest of the story. When I was growing up, my parents were so faithful to take us to church every Sunday, but Easter was really special. Rhonda and Lori, my sisters, always wore special Easter dresses. And my mother dressed me in a little white shirt with a bow tie, and little Ricky Renner went to church. And of course, when we woke up on Easter morning, we always found a basket of goodies by our bed. It was a really big holiday in our life. But even as I was growing up, it seemed like every year, the sermon was the same story, year after year after year. And I remember thinking, isn't there more to the story than this? So when I got older, I took a deep dive into the Easter story and found out there really is more to the story, and it is just amazing. And today, my friends, we're going to move forward, and we're going to see the moment when Jesus had to clean up Peter's mess, and suddenly there was the appearance of a naked boy in the Garden of Gethsemane. Who is the naked boy in the Garden of Gethsemane, and what in the world is he doing there? It is going to be so good today. But hey, before we get started, remember that if you need prayer, we're wanting to pray for you. If you'll call the number on the screen, as soon as the phone rings and we hear what the need is, we're going to pray according to the will of God. We're told in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, if we pray anything according to His will, He hears us, which means when you pray the Word of God or you pray scripturally, it opens the ears of God. He hears that prayer. And it says, if He hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we ask of Him. So we'll pray with you scripturally. God will hear us, and God will move in your life. We're just waiting to pray. So call the number on the screen or give us a call. We're waiting to pray for you right now. But before we get into the teaching, listen to this.
Do you know the story of Easter? The resurrection of Jesus, the empty tomb, and the appearances to the disciples. But did you know that's only part of the story? In Rick Renner's book, Easter, the Rest of the Story, Rick delves into the lesser-known details of the Easter story that are often overlooked. Details like, who was Pontius Pilate? What really happened to the Garden of Gethsemane? What happened to the temple when Jesus died? What exactly did the disciples witness on that miraculous morning? Why Easter is the absolute defining moment of our faith. When you call or go online right now to order this book for just $45, you will receive this timeless keepsake. With 300 pages of breathtaking illustrations, your family can establish a practice that will enrich your Easter celebrations for generations. Perfect as a gift or to enhance your own holiday traditions. Order Easter, the rest of the story today for just $45. Call now or visit Renner.org to order.
In the last program, we saw that Judas Iscariot led 300 to 600 armed Roman soldiers into the Grotto of Gethsemane to arrest Jesus. And not just the Roman soldiers, but also temple police. And when you put all this together, it was a small army that came to arrest Jesus. And when they came to arrest him, Judas gave him a kiss of betrayal. And then Jesus stepped forward, and to the rest of them, he said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And we saw that Jesus answered and said, I am He. But in Greek, it says, ego eimi. A literal translation would be, I am. And the verse goes on to say, when He said to them, I am, they fell backward and fell to the ground. Jesus identified Himself as the great I am of the Old Testament. And when Jesus spoke those words, power was detonated so strong, it knocked all the armed forces flat. Here they had heard legends of Jesus' power, And now we find out the tales of his power were real. He had enough power to knock a small army flat just by identifying who he was. And my friends, that's how much power Jesus has. We're told in Scripture that in the future, when Jesus comes, with one word of his mouth, he will incinerate the Antichrist. That's how much power comes out of the mouth of Jesus when he speaks. And that's why when you're facing a need or an attack, you need to get the word of God. You need to declare the word of God and let Jesus speak his word, because his power and his word has the ability to obliterate anything that is trying to come against you. But eventually, Jesus was arrested by these forces. Now they're standing to their feet after being dazed, after being laid flat on the ground by the power of God. They finally crawl back to their feet. And just before they take Jesus away, Peter does the unthinkable, something very impetuous. Now, stop and think of a time when you've done something impetuous. You acted rashly. You acted too quickly. You said something that later you were so sorry you said, or you demonstrated some kind of behavior that later you just loathed. You were so embarrassed by how you acted. We've all been guilty of that from time to time, and we could all use a good dose of patience. But the truth is, no one illustrates being impetuous and doing something that is rash and reckless better than the story of Peter there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And at some point, either in the grotto or out in the garden itself, Peter did the unthinkable. When he saw the mob laying on the ground, incapacitated by the power of God, he had an idea. He wanted to swing into action to do something he should not have done. And when you come to Luke 22, verse 49, he actually said, "Lord, shall we smite with the sword?" What an opportunity to attack their enemies. Here they are decimated by the power of God, laying flat. And Peter says, "Wow, this is an opportunity to do to them what I've wanted to do to them for a long, long time." And he says, "Lord, shall we smite them with the sword?" And before Jesus could answer, Peter took a sword, swung it, and lopped the ear off of the servant of the high priest. Look, if you would, at John chapter 18, verse 10, which tells us Peter smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. This is not right behavior. But notice he says he smote the high priest's servant. And the word smote here is very important. It means to strike. As a person who viciously strikes someone with a dangerous tool, weapon, or instrument. It can be translated to sting, like a scorpion that strongly injects its stinger into a victim. This word smote can mean to beat with the fist, and it pictures the force of Peter's swinging action and tells us Peter put all of his strength into the swinging of his sword and did it with a full intention to cause bodily impairment. Bam! He swung with all of his might. But I have to ask you a question. Do you really think Peter intended to cut off that man's ear? I mean, if you really had something against somebody, would you say, "I'm going to cut your ear off," or would you say, "I'm going to cut your head off"? Well, the truth is, he probably was swinging for the head, but he was a fisherman. He was not a man that regularly used a sword. He made a mistake, and instead of getting the head, he got the ear. And in fact, the Bible says he cut off his right ear. The word "cut off" describes a downward swing that cuts something off, and the word "ear" in Greek describes the entire outer ear. Now, this is amazing for me. Here he was swinging for the head. He missed. He got the ear. But now in front of Jesus is a wounded man that Peter has impetuously wounded. Blood is pouring from the side of his head. I can just imagine Malchus shocked. He's putting his hand on his head, trying to stop the blood that is pouring from the side of his head. And of course, when you cut the ear, it really bleeds profusely. He looks around. He sees his ear lying on the ground. But we have to ask, who was this man that Peter assaulted? And why this man? Well, we know from John chapter 18, verse 10, the man's name was Malchus. And Malchus was the servant of the high priest, who was Caiaphas. Caiaphas did not like Jesus. Caiaphas, for years, had been trying to arrest Jesus and capture Jesus and kill Jesus. But what about this Malchus, who was the servant of the high priest? Well, his name means ruler and counselor. So he was a mighty and a powerful man, and he was a counselor to Caiaphas, the high priest. He was the personal assistant of Caiaphas. Caiaphas was a member of the Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in the supernatural. That's one reason why Caiaphas was so against the ministry of Jesus. He didn't believe all this baloney that Jesus was performing miracles, because Caiaphas did not believe in the supernatural. And in fact, the Sadducees didn't even believe in the supernatural acts of the Old Testament. They thought they were just fantasies, myths, or legends. And therefore, Caiaphas was against Jesus and against all this supernatural activity, and was antagonistic to the ministry of Jesus for one reason, because he didn't believe in the supernatural, and because it seemed that Jesus' ministry was out of control. They were not able to manage Jesus' activities, and therefore they felt great antagonism toward Jesus. But as spokesman and the personal representative of the high priest, Malchus was a public voice for the high priest Caiaphas. And if Malchus was the mouthpiece for the high priest, it meant that it was Malchus who had publicly spoken atrocious statements about Jesus and his disciples. And now, Peter looks in the crowd. They're laying flat, put out by the power of God. And when he saw Malchus, what an opportunity. Probably when Malchus came entering into the grotto or into the cave of Gethsemane, Peter already felt, ugh, it's this Malchus that has said such horrible things about Jesus and about the rest of us. He probably saw Malchus as someone he deeply, deeply resented. And there he stood, dressed in all his royal gear. He looked so powerful, so mighty, that Peter had something against him. And now he was laying flat, incapacitated. And when Peter saw him there, he impetuously believed it was his opportunity to take vengeance against this man who had spoken atrocious things against Jesus and against the rest of the apostles. He swung his sword, but guess what? Few scholars believe Peter singled him out by chance. They believe this was very deliberate, because Peter had something against him. And my friends, he wasn't swinging for the ear. He was swinging for the head and missed. But when that sword came down the side of his ear, it lopped off the right ear of Malchus. Well, this was a very serious situation. First of all, Malchus was a very public individual, very well known, and Peter now had violated law. Peter could go to prison for assaulting a public official. And it's also important to note that when a person was bodily impaired or disfigured, he was no longer allowed to perform certain functions in holy sites. And such a disfigurement of losing an ear would prohibit Malchus from serving in temple premises. But rather than let him be disfigured and lose his profession, Jesus stepped forward and healed him and protected his ability to serve in his profession alongside the high priest. And the healing of Malchus' ear was the last miracle that Jesus performed before his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So just before Jesus went to the cross, the last miracle he performed was helping one who had previously declared Jesus to be a foe and declared him to be an enemy. And now Jesus steps forward to help this man that has been so negative about him in the past. Jesus had the opportunity to say, finally, one of you guys get what you deserve. But that's not what Jesus did. That's what Peter did. But instead, Jesus stepped forward and healed this man. And what a contrast Jesus' actions were to the behavior of Peter. But Jesus had to clean up Peter's mess before he could go any further, because Peter's action could cause him to be prosecuted. He had publicly assaulted a very visible man. Peter could go to jail for this. Peter's actions were criminal. He could have been sentenced for injuring a notable citizen. Wow. Just moments before, now think about this, moments before, Jesus was kneeling on top of that outcropping of rock in the Garden of Gethsemane under such great pressure as he prayed that he was sweating great drops of blood, but he won the battle in prayer. Then he received a kiss of betrayal from Judas that must have been shocking to him. And now a new problem suddenly emerges because of Peter's behavior. Blood is pouring from the side of Malchus' head. It is dripping from the blade that Peter held in his hand. And suddenly in Luke 22, verse 51, the Bible tells us, Jesus said, "Suffer ye thus far," which means Jesus said, "Pause, pause, 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 pause. Everybody stop. Give me a moment." It was the equivalent of saying, "Give me a moment. Just give me a little time to do one more thing before you take me." Jesus had to clean up Peter's mess, or Peter would have gone to jail. And Jesus didn't want Peter to go to jail. And when you come to Luke 22, verse 51, it says Jesus touched his ear and healed it. And the word touch, by the way, means to firmly grasp or to hold tightly, which means when Jesus prayed for people, they really knew they had been prayed for. And the word healed means to cure, to restore, or to heal. And the Bible doesn't tell us whether Jesus reached over, took the ear that was on the ground and put it back on, or whether he grew a brand new ear on the stump that remained. But by the time that Jesus was finished, there was a brand new ear on the right side of Malchus's head. That is just amazing. The power which was in the Garden of Gethsemane. With one word, he knocked the whole forces flat. Jesus grew an ear, or restored an ear, to the side of Malchus's head. And that is why Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 53, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Jesus didn't need a little sword to help him. He didn't need Peter's intervention. If he had wanted to, he could have called upon 12 legions of angels. And 12 legions of angels is 72,000 angels. Well, if you take into account that in Isaiah 37, verse 36, one angel by himself, killed 185,000 men in one night. Now multiply 185,000 by 72,000, and you find that 12 legions of angels would have the combined force to kill 13,320,000,000 people, which is twice the current population of the earth. That's how much power was available to Jesus. But Jesus didn't call on them because he knew it was the will of the Father for him to die on the cross as the Lamb of God. But wait, 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 one more thing happened. When you come to Mark 14, 51 to 52, the Bible adds, "And there followed him," the word "followed" means to continuously follow. So somebody was trailing Jesus and the others. "And there followed him," or trailed him, "a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked." So we have to ask, who is this young man? Why in the world is he naked? And why was he dressed in a linen cloth? Well, the words "linen cloth" are from a Greek word used to depict the linen cloth in which the body of Jesus was wrapped for his own burial. And this phrase, "linen cloth," describes a burial shroud used for covering a dead body in a grave. Well, I told you in a previous program that in that particular part of the Mount of Olives, there were graves where the wealthy buried their dead. And apparently this young boy had been buried naked, as was the custom of the Jews. He was covered with a burial shroud, which here is called a linen cloth. But when Jesus said, "I am," and power was detonated that knocked that army back on its back, the same power which knocked That army flat caused a rumbling in the local cemetery. A boy was raised from the dead. I call it a periphery or an accidental resurrection. The boy comes crawling out of his tomb. This is the naked boy in the Garden of Gethsemane, carrying the cloth with which he had been buried. And the Bible says the young men or the soldiers laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Here we find that the soldiers said, "Somebody get that kid. We don't need another rumor of another resurrection." But he escaped from them, and now they stand there holding the burial cloth of a boy just raised from the dead. As they stood there holding that cloth, those with Judas Iscariot must have wondered, "What kind of man have we come to arrest?" Jesus had such power even when he was being arrested. And that's why Jesus later told Pilate in John 19, verse 11, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given to thee from above." No one took Jesus. No one had the power to take Jesus. Jesus stood forward and willingly surrendered himself because he knew the will of God was for him to go on the cross, to die for me and to die for you as the Lamb of God, and to be raised from the dead and to defeat death for me and for you. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had to clean up Peter's mess. And now we find a boy was raised from the dead just in the moment that Jesus was being arrested. Oh, but there's so much more for us to learn in the Easter story. I'll be back in just a moment.
Are you tired of the same watered-down Easter sermons? Rick Renner has a solution. In his new series, Easter, The Rest of the Story, Rick explores the raw, unfiltered aspects of Jesus's sacrifice. This series is an opportunity to rediscover the profound spiritual significance of Easter and its lasting impact on our lives today. In this powerful 15-part series, you'll learn how many soldiers it took to arrest Jesus, the reality of Judas's kiss of betrayal, the horror of a Roman scourging, the miraculous details of Jesus's resurrection, available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $24. This teaching holds the life-changing revelation found in the details of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, which are the cornerstone of our faith. His death was not just a tragic event. It was a purposeful act of love that fulfilled God's plan for redemption. By taking on the weight of our transgressions, Jesus bridged the gap between sinful humanity and a holy God. Celebrate the gift of forgiveness, grace, and eternal life by ordering this series today. In addition to this series, you can also order the book, Easter, The Rest of the Story. This book brings new meaning to the 2,000-year-old history of our Savior with more than 30 stunning original illustrations. Order Easter, The Rest of the Story for just $45. Don't miss this special offer of the bundle, Easter, The Rest of the Story. Call the number on your screen or go to Renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and I am in the production fulfillment part of the Tulsa Ministry headquarters, and I just love to come here because I see what people are ordering. For example, here, someone has just ordered the 5-part series called How to Have Peace of Mind in Troubled Times. I know this person just became a partner because we're sending them our personal testimony, which is called Unlikely. We always send that to anyone who becomes a partner. And then a person here just ordered World Before the Flood. That's 15 parts, and this person just ordered Easter, The Rest of the Story. But I just love to come here and see all these teaching resources. My friends, we send them out by 10,000s every month and every year. It is just amazing, and it's a great honor that anyone would want our teaching. It's very humbling, and I'm very grateful that God is using our ministry and our teaching to strengthen lives around the world, and our partners are the ones helping us to do it. We're told in Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, and I know that is the assignment on my life
It's to take the trusted teaching of the Bible to people around the world. And right now, we're trying to pay off this facility so we can release more funds to taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. We've already paid off 84% of our ministry expansion project, but we'd like to finish it. And if you're not a part of the giving team yet, today I want to ask you to join our giving team so we can pay off this facility and release all those funds into taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth.
We're looking at Easter, the rest of the story. And today, we've been looking at the fact that Jesus had to clean up Peter's mess. Has Jesus ever had to clean up a mess for you? Aren't you glad that Jesus is so good that when we do something that is reckless or thoughtless or impetuous, He loves us so much He steps in to help us anyhow? And we've also seen today that there was a rumbling in the local cemetery at the time of Jesus' arrest. And a naked boy who had been buried in the custom of the Jews buried the dead naked and covered them with a linen cloth, was raised from the dead at the very time of Jesus' arrest. And here's an illustration of that boy crawling out of his tomb with his linen cloth. My friends, Jesus has so much power, and He's got power for you. He has the power to do anything that needs to be done in your life right now. And we would love to pray with you. So if you'll call the number on the screen or send us an email, we'll pray with you and for the power of Jesus Christ to do exactly what needs to be done. And I release the power of God to you right now in Jesus' name. Take it by faith. Now, when we come back tomorrow, we're going to move to the next part of the story. It is going to be riveting. Don't miss it. But until then, I want you to remember Ecclesiastes 8:4. It says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Hey friends, this is Rick Renner, and Denise and I are coming to the United States for a brief trip, and we want to invite you to come to some of our meetings. On Sunday, April the 19th, we'll be ministering at Vertical Church in West Haven, Connecticut, with Pastors Ken and Kathy Vance. Then on Wednesday through Sunday, April the 22nd to 26th, I'll be speaking at Perry Stone's wonderful 2026 Prophetic Summit in Cleveland, Tennessee. Then on Sunday, May the 3rd, I'll be speaking at Resurrection Life in Granville, Michigan with Pastors Duane and Jeannie Vanderklok. Friend, if you can come to any of these meetings, Denise and I would just be so thrilled to see you. But please go online or give us a call to make sure none of the dates or times have changed.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
Thank you for joining Rick Renner today. For more information about Renner Ministries and product resources, visit renner.org.
This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.